Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Big News Show, episode number 9, with me, Ben Bailey. I'm your host. It's going to be fun, guys. Episode 9 is going to be fun. On tonight's show, we got a lot of fun stuff planned for you. Of course, the lovely and talented Miss Emma Gleason will be here with me, as well as our little sidekick, Sparky the dog, in sound and spirit anyway. We're going to go live from Vic's Bar, where I already am sitting. There's going to be some sketches, which are going to be very fun. We're going to go visit the wise old man on the mountain, of course. We're going to dip into the world of Emma's Weird, Wild, Wacky Wednesday weekly world news. We're going to check out some basement riffs from the comedy club. We're going to do a movie quote or two, like we usually do. We're going to take some viewer questions. We are going to do Sunday, of course, and it's going to be amazing because this is the Big News Show, episode number 9. Let's do this. All right, hey everybody, welcome to episode number 9 of the Big News Show, where we are live from Vic's Bar, because that's what we do. We go to Vic's Bar and we hang out and we go live from there. And please keep in mind, everybody, when I say we go live, I don't mean really that we go live at all. It's recorded. this is not live, but the segment's called Live from Vic's. So, I like to say we're going live from Vic's, even though we're not. So sorry for the mislead, but we are here and we are having a great time here making the big new show. It's a lot of work. I'm not going to lie to you guys, but it's been fun. I really like the stuff that we're coming up with. And I really like how the whole thing's kind of coming together for us, you know?
Yeah, me too, sweetie.
Yeah. And it's been a long, hard road getting here to the big new show in its current incarnation. But I think the important thing is that we got here, and now we kind of have a pretty comfortable, although we just had some technical issues, as usual, even with the new setup.
Yeah.
I just go to roll cameras, and the computer's like, can't do that. No hint as to why. Just says, nope, sorry, can't do that right now. okay, great. And we've been having a little trouble finding the right time to get here and do this. We were going to do it yesterday, and we're just exhausted.
You weren't, yeah. Yesterday,
I was a mess. I was just too tired.
It wasn't the right time for you.
Anything.
Yeah.
90 minutes of hockey the night before, and I don't really know how to not go all out.
Yeah, and then you came home and you worked out.
Then I came home and I worked out. I was all wound up. I just had all this energy. So yeah, I came home from hockey and I worked out. There is a reminder of something I wanted to share with you guys, something I learned during the pandemic, that I can work out and drink beer at the same time. I didn't ever make that connection ever before. But yeah, if you have a gym at your house, or I suppose you could do it at a public membership place too, you know, but get a ride.
Could you?
Well, you'd probably want to sneak it. People would be like, what are you doing, dude? where's your Powerade? I think people are just charged up on those energy drinks now when they're working out.
I feel like for legal reasons.
The gym would be like, no, you're drunk.
Yeah, you can't be drinking out. And
I'm not talking about being drunk. I'm just saying, you know, I'm lifting and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have a beer halfway through the workout. I'm going to finish the workout and have a beer while I, you know.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say alcohol and dumbbells don't mix.
Alcohol. I'm going to put that on a poster. Alcohol and dumbbells don't mix. That's going to be the next new
t-shirt?
Item. Yeah, the next. Oh, that makes me think of a good t-shirt. I think it's a t-shirt. This is not that smart, but can move heavy objects. You know, it's like one of those workout dumb guy shirts,
which
I feel I deserve to wear from time to time. But yeah, I enjoy a beer in many different scenarios that maybe are not typical.
Yeah.
Like in the shower. I don't know if other people do that, but I will take a beer into the shower.
I think,
And I'll drink it in there. I don't just bring it in with me. and wash its little feet.
Bath wine is
bath wine.
Yeah, for the ladies. Actually, I did see someone had a post on social media the other day of their glass of wine in the shower.
In the shower.
Yeah.
Well, see, now a glass of wine though, it's pretty wide open. The top.
Yeah.
A beer, you know, there's not much going in there,
but like
glass of wine, I'm picturing, you know, you can end up with a little shampoo in there. little overspray of some sort is going to end up in your wine.
I was more concerned about the glass part. I think if you're going to be taking it in, don't take glass.
Right. Anywhere, like, anywhere barefoot. That's the den mother in you. Anywhere where people might be barefoot, no gloss. You kids, get that gloss out of the shower.
It's a very hard, like, there's water and there's tile and, you know, it's just going to shatter.
Yep. You make a good point.
And
you make
soap
a good point.
And, yeah.
But I bring bottles in. When there's no, when they don't have any cans, I bring bottles in. I'll bring a bottle in.
Wow.
I mean, I'm a grown man, so.
You're revealing a lot about yourself.
I am. Yeah.
I found, cans in the steam room.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I leave them in there. Yeah. I forget about them. Get lost in the steam. We have a steam room, everybody. The word is out. And we love it. We absolutely love it. It is, it's a great thing. It's something that I always loved, steam rooms. Whenever I would travel, I was, you know, lucky enough to stay somewhere where they had one, or like sometimes you get a gym membership on the road. Like if you're doing, you know, I used to do a week. Early on when I started doing the clubs on the road, I would do a whole week. So you'd go and you would, just be there you do like...
This is a new home for the week.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
And some of them, like if you did a casino, you do every night. And, you know, so sometimes I would be lucky enough to stay someplace or join a gym while I was someplace that had a steam room, and I just loved it.
Mm.
And it's good for you. It's so good for you to sweat out the toxins.
Yes. I grew up like going into saunas on like when we go away on holidays every year.
Yeah.
There'd often be a sauna where we'd stay.
Yeah, I like a sauna too.
Yeah.
I prefer the steam to a sauna if I had to choose.
Well, I think...
Which once in a while you do. They have both, and you're like, which one's it going to be?
It's always the sauna for me.
Yeah, always the steam for me.
But I've come to like the steam.
The Schwitz.
More.
Yeah, you like it now, don't you?
Yeah.
Turned her around.
Yeah, first when I went in, I was like, oh my God, I can't see a thing. I feel...
It's a little scary.
A little claustrophobic and
there's
a little...
There's the image
like...
of old Jewish men in towels.
I didn't have that.
The Schwitz. It's a popular thing. It's like on, it seems like on every show there's a, you know.
Yeah.
But, there's some old guys in the Schwitz. Not every show, but you know.
But they're usually in a sauna.
No.
Right?
No, they're usually in a steam room.
Aren't they like usually on wooden benches?
No.
I don't know.
No, well, I mean, I'm sure there's been both.
Yeah.
Like on Seinfeld when they're in the sauna and Kramer just keeps saying it's like a sauna in here. Over and over, and he doesn't realize that, you know.
But, yeah, the difference is, like, here, wherever you go, there's a sign saying do not put water on coals.
Yeah, don't put water on the rocks.
And I'm like, that's the only way you do a sauna, like, how? Otherwise you're just sitting in a hot room.
Yes,
like,
a very dry.
Dry, hot room.
Like, right.
You know, and at home, there'd be, like, a bucket. Of water,
right, with
a
big
wooden
ladle.
One, and a big wooden ladle, and you put that on the coals, and then you get the nice steam, and you get the beautiful like aroma of the wood, and
yeah, and that's great, and that kind of covered, you know, for us why you loved one and I loved the other, because we had a different idea of what the sauna was. I was like, it's so dry in the sauna, and you were like, what? No, it isn't.
Yeah,
you dump the water on the I'm like, wait, hold on. At some places, occasionally there are places here where you can do that in the sauna, and that's very nice. I like that as well.
Yeah,
but I like the eucalyptus and the blast of the steam.
Yeah, that's nice.
It's good for the sinuses.
I just like when you go places. Sometimes they smell a little mildewy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
because they're going all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Often a gym steam room will have a little bit of that.
Mm.
Not often, but sometimes. Oh my God, I went to one in Chicago. I was making, I was going back and forth from New, I went back from New York to Chicago and back like 5 times in 2 weeks. I was shooting a commercial, I was doing stand-up shows, and I was filming the movie Bad Meat. And so I got a gym membership there for that time so that I could like get my, make sure I kind of was like on my game before we were shooting, go to the gym, get a workout, get a steam. And it was this amazing gym. I like it. I've done this at 2 gyms in the Chicago area, and it was like incredibly cheap. There's one right in downtown Chicago, right near Zany's, where I'm going to be in a couple of months.
Nice.
This amazing gym that has like everything you could imagine.
Yeah.
A lap pool, basketball court, racquetball courts, indoor track, huge weight room, huge cardio room, climbing ropes, like everything.
Wow.
And it's like,
oh, that sounds
it's
great.
Like $39 a month. It's like, what?
Oh,
in New York, could it be like $400?
Yeah, in like most of the cities in the world.
It was so affordable. I was like, okay.
What's the deal?
Usually like, I'm like, do you have a rate for, you know, a few days or a week? And I'm like, I'll just join. This is $39. there was another gym, even like a little outside of Chicago that I joined that had all the same stuff and was even cheaper because it was like in the burbs.
Wow.
And I went to that one and I said, oh, you guys have a steam room. I'm psyched to use a steam room. I love the strong eucalyptus. And they're like, oh, here you go. And they handed me a crystal, a eucalyptus crystal.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's this? And they're like, it's eucalyptus. And I was like, oh, like I had never experienced the crystal before.
Yeah. I haven't either. I never have. Being from Australia, we use eucalyptus, as you know, for all sorts of things.
Right. That's where it comes from, for crying out loud.
For cleaning, and it's great for getting oil stains out of clothes.
And it smells so darn good. And I had never had the crystals, and only the oil, or usually what you would get is they would give you a spray. Because the oil is pretty strong,
right?
Crazy strong, and more expensive. So at a public place, they'll give you a bottle, a spray bottle that's got water and eucalyptus mixed in it. And then you spray it in the air.
Right, okay. Yep.
And you can never get enough. Like, that way, it never gets as strong as you want it to get.
Right.
Like, or sinus
as
clearing.
As you want it to
it
get.
It never, ever got as strong as I wanted it to get. So I was always wanting, spraying more. And then they gave me a crystal, a tiny little crystal, or maybe they gave me two, and I was like, and they were like, yeah, you just put them in the little tray. Oh my God, I can still feel it on my skin. Like,
wow, when you think about it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I worked out, I stashed that stuff in my locker. I had a good workout, I swam.
Yeah.
Some guy came in and was like, I've been watching you swim, which as you know, happens to me sometimes when I swim.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, yeah. You know, he stopped me at one end of the pool. He said, I've been watching you swim.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, okay. And he said, and I'm a coach. I teach people how to swim, how to perfect their stroke. And get the most out of it with the least work. And I was like, that's what I do. And he was like, that is what you do. He goes, I think you're better than I am. He goes, I've been watching you. And it took you 13, I think he said 13 or 14, to get from one end to the other.
He was counting your strokes.
He was counting my strokes because he was going to come up and say, hey, man, I can show you how to get faster, you know, and use less. He was going to pitch me as a client to try to train me.
Yeah.
And then he stuck around to let me know that I don't need him, which was cool. I was like, oh, that's really nice to hear because I work at it, you know. And so then I went in, and eventually I got through the whole workout, and I went in, and I went in the locker room, and I put a couple of those. I got in the steam room, I sat down, I cranked it up, and I put the crystal in the trough, and like 15 seconds later, I ran screaming from the steam room. My skin, like I could feel it on my skin, like it, I could feel it in my brain. It just like permeated my entire body, like it was so strong.
Wow!
Like I don't know what they expected me to do with it.
Yeah, what do people do with them? I wonder.
Should I put that in and then wait a week? You know, like it was unreal. It was so hot.
Right.
It was like It was like being burned by cold. It was like being burned by coldness.
Jesus. Icy hot.
Icy hot. Exactly. It was, yeah. It was insane. I'll never forget it. And they were like, you said you liked it strong. I'm like, so you thought you'd teach me a lesson? Like, this, I'm paying you guys to use your
lesson. Yeah, it's like,
what are you doing to me, man?
Wow.
So then, it's funny, now that after what we've talked about, I went into the sauna the next time.
Mm.
And there were two guys in there that were so, they were like the Bears guys from SNL. Like, one guy was like, can't wait for the game on Sunday. Going to get some trail mix. It's going to be great. Yeah. You know, like, and watch the Bears. Like, they just sounded like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so in Chicago. These guys are real dudes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sorry, I don't know the SNL.
Saturday Night Live sketch from back. The Bears, these Chicago guys are like big fans of the Bears, had a Midwestern accent. And I mean, these guys in that sauna were them. Like, oh my God, these guys are absolutely real.
That must have been fun.
It was pretty funny. But yeah, wow, did we get sidetracked? Which I think is the whole idea here. Is we just get in, we just get into stuff, and we forget that we're supposed to be doing fun things like this. It's a cash cab drive-by, folks. That means it's time for you to drink your drink. I'm going to drink mine. Cash cab drive-by brought to you by us, just like all the other segments. But maybe one day someone else will bring them to you. In the meantime, hold your drink high, whatever it might be. Be it beer, be it water, be it whiskey, be it wine. Hold it up, take a sip, toast yourself. You made it through some shit and you're still here to have a drink with us. So cheers to you. It's time for you to drink your drink. Yeah, there we go. First drive-by. Sorry it's so far into the show. We get into conversation and then I know people are like, could we have a drink? So I would like to remind you, which I haven't done in a while, you are allowed to sip your beverages during other parts of the show. You don't have to wait for a cash cab drive-by to take a sip.
That's very nice that you let them do that.
I'm feeling generous. So take a drink whenever you feel like it. But you damn well better have one when the rest of us are. I don't care how many you had on your own time. You better do it. Understand me? That's a creepy voice. That was, man, that was... That was Silence of the Lambs or something there.
Oh,
that was
geez.
Ugly.
You yeah, got a little disturbing.
Yeah. Oh, wait. So creepy.
Oh.
And I gave it away already, so I'm not going to do that line. I got another good movie quote that I'll bust out later. Now, I think we should do a viewer question.
Alrighty.
It's time for viewer questions, folks. It's the part of the show where we take a question from a viewer and we answer it.
All right. So I am grabbing these questions from the YouTube comments on the video.
Okay. So on the previous show. So
yeah.
Like from last week.
Yep.
Okay. So if you have one you want us to ask, guys, put it in the comments on YouTube.
And then also when we do the premiere and we chat along with everybody, people write in questions and I grab them from there.
All right. Yeah. They can do it at that point
that's
as well.
That's fine too. So
on YouTube, the Tube of Utes.
Spinalobifida. Yes.
Yeah.
Screen name.
Please don't be offended. We did not give him his screen name. He chose it himself. We are not making a joke out of a disease.
No, it's his way of making light of his own disease.
Indeed it is.
Yeah. So Spinalobifida.
He's a regular. What's up,
yeah.
Spino? How are you, man?
Says, this is for me, actually. Emma.
Oh, it's a question for Emma.
Speaking of accents, when you first met Ben, did you have difficulty understanding some of his words because of his accent?
Because of my accent?
Yeah.
He like turned the tables on us.
Yeah.
That's not what I would have expected.
And to that, I have to say no.
Okay, there you have it.
Yeah, I guess.
No, nope, that's it. Segment's over.
Stop.
The answer was no. Thanks for your question. Who's up next? Just kidding, obviously. All right, a minor technical issue there that we've taken care of. We had a minor lighting issue, but we got that sorted. I'm sure you guys have some expression for a minor lighting issue that I wouldn't understand. Yeah, she's gone.
A shenanigan.
A shenanigan? Is that?
Yeah, yeah.
Like when something goes wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have shenanigans
or you
too,
have
but
an adventure.
It doesn't really mean the same thing as that. Shenanigans is like, you know, when you get up to mischief.
Yeah.
Or you're doing, you know,
well, the light
some
got
bullshit.
Up. The lighting got up to mischief.
The lighting, okay.
So we had a lighting shenanigan.
Right, okay. Lighting has the power of free will in Australia, and it gets up
and
to stuff.
And here, too.
It does. Yeah, it seems to in this fucking room. Sorry, lights. Please don't take offense to that. Please, equipment, continue to work. So I don't know. I guess that answers the viewer question to some degree.
No, but to explain that further, growing up, I grew up on Sesame Street. We had American programming.
You grew up on Sesame Street?
In Australia. Not on Sesame Street.
I got excited. I was like, do you know Mr. Hooper?
Yes!
Was Oscar the Grouch in your garbage can?
And Maria. And we had two programs, like, every morning and evening. We had Sesame Street and Play School.
Right. Only because you've told me about it. I think most people here don't know Play School.
I love Play School.
It's pretty fun. Even as an adult, I enjoyed it.
I always wanted to be a host on Play School. That was...
I think you'd be great at that.
Thank you, darling.
Yeah, but you've already got a job. It's being here with me.
But if Play School's listening and wants me, I'll come to Australia and do a stint.
Wow. All right. I guess I would have to go too. I don't know. I'm musically inclined. I could do some of the musical bits.
You could take over for Gordon?
No, I couldn't do that. That piano, the playing on that is very good.
Yeah.
It's such a big part of the show. Yeah. If you don't know Play School and you're people who have little people, you can get it on YouTube, right?
I don't know.
Somewhere you could find...
Probably. You could find it online.
You could find
sure.
Play School out
I'm
there.
Sure.
It's a fun kids program that I was not aware of. But so you grew up on Sesame Street. So did I. So did everybody. When I was in college, I took a psychology class, and I learned of a study that was going to be done. There was this new show called Sesame Street, and they were going to air it. It was the first shot at educational television. They were going to air it for a while.
Wow.
Yeah, and then they were going to test kids who had seen it and kids who hadn't seen it and see if it made a difference in their level of education. And you remember how this ends.
I do now.
The study was an absolute failure because they couldn't find any kids who hadn't seen it. So, so much for that.
That's amazing.
So it was a little bit of a hit. I'd say it was a little bit of a success.
You know what? I know a person who interviewed the creator of Sesame Street.
Wow.
And she said that when they were starting up, it's interesting to think, you know, we all only know there being kids' educational television. No, like, you know, I'm not.
You mean as opposed to adult
I'm not. Television? I'm not familiar with the time when there wasn't, you know.
Right. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, you know, as opposed
it's
to
the
none.
Precursor.
Yeah.
But back then they didn't know what to base it on and like what a kid's going to like, what will they. So they played them a whole range of different things to see what the preschoolers would react to and what they'd be drawn to.
Yay, poopy, ha.
But, you know, out of, I think that's maybe school age more. I don't know. Anyway,
yeah, maybe.
But the one thing that grabbed their attention more than anything was beer commercials.
Oh, wow.
Because at the time.
That's terrifying.
But beer commercials have changed since. But at the time, apparently, beer commercials had like a lot of bright colors and flashing, you know, changing up graphics and and things.
So they're like, oh, it caught their eye and they just stared.
Yeah, it was visually stimulating.
And then they were like,
and
beer.
Colorful.
This is sunk into their heads as 4-year-olds. Beer. I will drink beer one day and everything will be okay.
Perhaps why that's why half your friends are functioning alcoholics.
Half? That's generous.
I didn't want all of your friends to think that I think they're functioning alcoholics. They could say, oh, no, she didn't mean me.
Right. Yeah. She meant the other 40. I have a lot of friends, and most of them are drinkers to some extent.
Mm.
And functional. Mostly functional. But, you know, yeah, that happens. And advertising definitely plays a role in that.
Yeah.
But so you grew up on Sesame Street, which is amazing. I never knew that. Did you personally know Mr. Snuffleupagus?
I never saw
it. I think it has a P. I always thought it was an F. I always thought it was Snuffleupagus.
Oh.
But apparently it's Snuffleupagus.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Yeah,
okay,
but that's
cool.
So much worse to me. Like, but the repeated F's are part of what made
him
great.
Snuffy, for sure.
Snuffy, so we can all agree on that.
There's the confusion, yeah.
All right, enough jokes about you actually living on Sesame Street. You grew up watching Sesame Street.
Yes.
And you were headed somewhere with that.
Oh, and I just think, you know, and then after that, you know, we weren't producing a lot of Australian television in Australia. And even now, like, it needs to, like, Australia produces a fair bit of its own content. But, you know, the big hit shows are there as well, too. So you're always hearing American accents on television.
Right.
So.
Right. Good point.
Yeah. From a baby. It's just like, you know, learning a foreign language from
right.
A,
so you know how we talk and
have.
You've learned how Americans, not that we all have the same accent. Obviously we don't. But generic American accent from TV has been.
And the New York accent.
You've been hearing it.
In Sesame Street.
How they were course,
depicted.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and on a lot of TV shows, too,
yes.
Even. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, now that's true for the Brits as well.
Mm.
The Brits would have seen a lot of American TV. I've had this conversation with British comics, saying that the accents are easier because they've grown up with them
right,
as well.
Right, Sex and the City and Sopranos and Friends and
yeah,
all
these
of
shows
those things that are still playing
international,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas we didn't get any Australian television here. At all. Like
Not even Skippy the Bush Kangaroo? Okay.
Not even Skippy the Bush Kangaroo. I know it's hard to believe. But no.
Skippy was our Lassie.
Right. They're Lassie. That's how weird they are, you guys. Their Lassie is a kangaroo. Skippy the Bush Kangaroo.
Yeah.
Huh. And it was like, he's trying to tell us something. Like, that sort of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
There was an emergency every week. Somebody fell in a well. Or...
Yep. Yeah. Skippy's trying to tell us
Skippy
something.
Skippy came bounding back.
Skippy, Skippy, Skippy the bush kangaroo.
Oh, yeah. No, just kidding. Yeah, we didn't have it. So, yeah, that makes it harder for us. It's harder for us actors to do your accents.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's something linguistically speaking that makes it easier as well, right? There's like it's like a soft something or other. It's easier to not do it than it is to learn to do it.
It's easier to do a hard vowel than to soften them.
I'm asking. This is actually something you told me.
Oh, okay.
So careful. Don't disagree with yourself.
I guarantee you, I'll do that pretty regularly. But. But I don't.
She's a Gemini, folks. She's a Gemini. I mean, she say something, she argue with herself.
No, I just see all sides of everything.
Okay, yeah, that's another way of looking at it, I guess.
Multifaceted.
Multifaceted. Did we answer your question?
The gem.
Spina bifida. Did we answer your question? I think we did. In great,
I think
great
that's pretty
detail.
Theria. I think that's pretty
fun. Oh my God! There's something going around the room.
I think that's pretty thorough. I think Ben has had difficulty understanding my accent, and a lot of other people have.
Wait, what?
I come back from Australia, or like early on, especially if I'd talk to a family member on the phone, when I got off, you'd be like, "What? Huh? What?"
All right, yeah, because your accent would come back.
I would start speaking a lot faster, and my accent would be thicker, and you wouldn't have a clue what I was saying.
I would be like, wait, hold on. Yeah. Well, it's funny. You kind of adapt. Whenever I've traveled abroad, I sort of end up speaking their... If I don't speak the language, which I do speak a couple, but if I'm somewhere where I don't, like Scotland... where they speak English, kind of... I got to blow that up because it made you laugh. They speak English, but it's hard to understand them. But so wherever the accent is, or the brogue is such that it's difficult to understand, I start speaking my own kind of version of what they do. Like I'll start switching up word order, and I'll finish on a high instead of a low.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, you know, if I have to just keep repeating myself, as I'm sure you can relate, it gets really, really annoying. So I start adapting and saying, you know, things like, did she not go to the, you know? I'm like, did she not? I never would have said, did she not, ever, you know?
Yeah.
But I would find myself saying that to people in England or in Scotland or in Ireland.
I do it after watching.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? That's right, folks. It's a movie quote. You better know that one. Are you not entertained?
Even I know that one.
Sorry to interrupt, but when the movie quotes come,
that's all right.
You got to jump all over them.
You got to get them out there when they come.
Yeah, and I'm going to make a note so I remember.
So while you say that, while I write that, I will say that I was watching Emma, in the BBC version, which is like I think 5 episodes long or something.
Wait, what were you
recently
watching?
Emma, the Jane Austen novel.
Yes, of course.
Not the newer movie.
Mm.
Because it's just soothing and relaxing and nice. And
that sounds good.
Yeah, but I would find when I stopped watching it, I could hear. I was using words I wouldn't normally use.
Right, you picked up.
I was saying, you know, yeah.
Daryl Hammond, great comedian Daryl Hammond, has a bit about, you know, how you talk like someone else to try to communicate them.
To
try to communicate with them. Oh, my God, I'm doing it now.
Communicate them to other people.
To try to communicate with them, you know, so if someone speaks to you in broken English, you sort of speak back to them in their own kind of broken English. It's very funny. I'm sure it's out there on YouTube.
And I bet that we do that more because we have a musical ear. Like, if you learn an instrument as a child and you have more of a musical ear, they say that accents come more easily to you and... Yeah, and you're more likely to pick them up. And I pick up, if I go to England, I pick up a British accent embarrassingly fast.
Just all of a sudden. You're British.
Oh, I find it mortifying.
Did you ever know someone who just, like...
Not because it's a bad accent, but because it sounds like I'm faking it.
Right, because you feel like you're not, but you can't stop yourself.
It just sneaks in after a couple of days.
Did you ever know one of these people who pretended that they had an accent like all the time that they didn't have?
No,
yeah. I've known a couple.
I bet you have.
A couple of people.
In your industry.
I knew this girl who was friends with a guy who was a friend of mine, and like we became buddies, and they would come to shows once in a while, and he would bring this girl, and she would speak in like a reasonably good sort of generic British accent, but not so good that you thought it was real. But she would just do it all the time and pretend that she was English. I'm just like, what?
Did she?
What does that say about this person? You know, like,
do you think she thought it made him more interesting?
I have no idea. Maybe. I think maybe she just, you know,
I mean, people.
She thought she could do it,
yeah.
So she thought she would do it. I think maybe there was some relatively heavy drugs involved as well.
I
don't know her that well, but
I was just thinking,
I'm like, oh, are you from England? And she's like, no.
Oh, wow. So she would say...
She would say no. Like, if you ask her, she would say no. She would avoid the question, but if you pressed her, then she would say no, and she would still, you know, use the accent to tell you that she's not English. It was weird. But I think it's like this kind of a weird thing. I think she's not the only person that ever did that.
No.
I don't know how many would, but how many people have over the...
Yeah.
Like,
well...
It's a thing, I bet. It's like a weird... It says something about how you feel about your homeland. Like she probably feels guilty about being an American or something, or maybe she's obsessed with the British royalty. Some people have that weird.
Well, foreign is exotic to people, no matter what that foreign is to them.
I think I know what you're saying.
Like, you know, Brits are foreign to you, you're foreign to Brits.
Right, so that makes that exotic, right?
Yeah.
That's like... British guys come to the U.S. so they can get laid because they have an accent.
Right.
Because it's exotic.
Yeah.
It's different. It's
more
new.
Interesting, yeah. But yeah. When they go down to their local pub.
Yeah. They're like, fuck off. Nothing special about you. I keep slipping into Aussie. It's hard when you live with an Aussie not to. Speaking of you.
No, that's fine.
Why don't we roll into a little news segment? Do you have some interesting, weird, wild, wacky? I hope you do because I'm about to play the thing.
Okay.
It's weird. It's wild. It's wacky. It's Wednesday. This is annoying me. It's taking so long. It's weekly. It's worldly. It's Emma's Weird, Wild, Wacky Wednesday Weekly World News.
Wow, that is quite the mouthful.
I think we should maybe cut it to just the end. Skip to the end. Another movie quote.
Wow. You've
should
got
I do
so
it?
Many of them this week.
I'm going to do it again.
I don't think we need it. How many times has that been so far?
Just two.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's another one. There's two movie quotes out there in the mix, guys.
Maybe we shouldn't throw them in directly after the...
After the news thing?
In the future.
Well, that's all right.
All right. Okay, so there seems to be themes with the weird news.
Okay.
Like...
recurring sort of crazy stuff?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right.
Definitely noticing it as I dig into it. And I think you'll remember there's been a couple of weird stories about hikers.
Yes.
That I...
There's more hiker stuff?
Yes. So I shared a couple of weird stories on the old Working From Home show. And there's another one this week, and you can share the photo whenever you like. But a New York man, Philip Vasto of Brooklyn.
Wait, so before we dive into this one, I think I remember that this is the hiker who ended up like in a search party looking for himself.
No.
Is the one you're referring to?
No, I was going to like tell people about those after. Maybe we thought we could talk about them. But yes, there was a...
This is like a follow-up
to
that one kind of
thing. It's not a follow-up. It's just yet another weird hiker story. So yeah, there was a man in Turkey who accidentally joined his own search party.
Right, yes.
He went out with friends. He got drunk.
Right.
That's not this man, but... the man in Turkey went out with friends, got drunk, and they saw him stumble off into the woods at the end of the night.
Right.
And then in the morning,
let's go to sleep. He'll be fine.
He hadn't got home, and they're like, oh, no, he's gotten lost in the woods.
Right.
So they informed the authorities, they formed a search party, and they went out into the woods looking for him. And he woke up in the woods and heard this search party going on and thought he would lend a hand and got involved and went around looking for this person. eventually he heard more clearly whose name they were calling out. He was searching with them for a half hour. They'd been searching for 2 hours before this.
Right.
And he was like, hang on, that's me.
Yeah. Hold on, guys.
And they're like,
I found me.
What? No. And people didn't believe him in the search party. Right.
Like, no, you're not.
No, you're looking for me. And
oh, that's hilarious.
Apparently some of his friends were somewhere in the search party. They figured it all out. Anyway, apparently this is when I looked up that story to remind myself of it. They said it's not the first time that that's happened, that a person has joined their own rescue mission.
Oh, people. Crazy.
In 2012, an Asian tourist.
This guy here in the snow?
No, another woman.
Oh, okay.
She went missing, I think it was a woman, in Iceland. And found her own search party and didn't recognize her own description, the description of her. So she didn't think they were looking for her.
Right. And we talked about that one once as well, didn't we?
No, I just found this one. Now
we. Oh, okay. We did talk about another one.
Yet another one.
Yes. Oh my God.
Was
people seem to do this a lot?
Yeah, people go missing.
That one was another woman, but she was out west in the U.S. in Arizona or something.
Oh, maybe there's another one that I'm forgetting.
Anyway, sorry, okay. I keep distracting you. I just want to like...
Okay, so this...
I want everyone to know these...
Okay, so let's get to this week's...
crazy backstory behind this stuff.
All right. This week's is Brooklyn's Philip Basto.
Philip Basto.
He's a 28-year-old who went hiking in Arizona.
Okay, this guy's in Arizona.
Yes.
Okay, interesting.
And he wanted to climb Humphreys Peak, the tallest peak in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
He'd hiked the Grand Canyon 2 years before, and he didn't have any issues. He describes himself as an experienced hiker. So he took off.
Right.
he said he was really wrong about it. It was very easy to get off the trail in the snow, and he got lost. So,
okay.
At 7 p.m. at night, he called 911 to say he was lost and he needed to be rescued. So the sheriffs...
And they were like, where are you? He's like, I don't know. That's the problem.
They were able...
Now, this is a picture of him that we're looking at, this guy standing here in the
yes.
snow?
Okay. Yes. They were able to trace him from his phone.
Okay. They triangulated.
Yeah, and found him. And they said to him, leave it a while before you, like, leave it some months before you start this again, before you do it again.
Oh, they found him, rescued him. He's back home. He's fine.
Well, you would think so.
Okay.
But he didn't take their advice. He went out again the very next day. He went early morning because he said that he thought if he got a really early start, he'd have all the time in the world to reach the summit.
Okay. So wait, just to be clear, the first time he called them, they located him, they saved him.
Yes.
They said, don't do this again. At least not right away.
Yes.
Plan on it, whatever. And he went out the very next day.
Yeah, that night, they said,
okay.
They said, don't try this again.
Yeah.
Like, wait
yeah.
until the snow is cleared.
Well, all right, okay.
He clearly had some...
I just want to make sure. That's what I thought. I just want to make sure.
Some confidence. So and bright and early the very next morning, he thought if he left early enough, he'd have the whole day to do it.
Right.
And yet again, he was wrong.
And so what, he had to call them again?
Well, he fell during the hike.
Oh, no.
Cut his leg.
Oh, no.
Left him lightheaded and numb all over. So at 5 o'clock
oh, Jesus.
That evening.
2 hours before.
5% battery life left. He called them to be rescued again.
And they were like.
Dude. I don't know what they were.
Did you just come straight back here? oh, my God. So then what happened?
So they went out and rescued him again.
And they brought him back.
And he said, don't underestimate this to other hikers. And, you know, oh, and the day before they were like, you know, you need to be prepared. You need to have the right clothing and equipment and everything. Don't attempt it again right now.
He just went like that. He didn't have any... He doesn't even have any gear or anything.
This is a photo from his Instagram.
Right.
And that other one there is a photo of the hiking route. You can
see. Oh, we can see the route. All right, let's take a look at that.
It's pretty crazy.
Like there's Humphreys Peak, 12,635 feet. That's not nothing.
No. No, and it zigzags the whole way through because you're going up and up and up.
And he was just like, all right, I'm just going to do it.
If I start early enough, I'll have all the time in the world. No, you'll just have that day.
Right, you're still, unless you're prepared for night and you're going to get through the night.
Right.
All the time in the world.
Yeah. So he...
Does not apply.
He's wanting to warn people that...
Is that blue dot? Is that like where he was, do you think? Or maybe not.
The green dot at the beginning?
No, the blue one up near the top.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe that's Humphreys Peak or so, but I feel like Humphreys Peak is the yellow one above that.
Yes, me too. I don't, it doesn't say how far he got.
I'm no expert, but 12,635 feet is pretty high.
Yeah.
I mean, Everest is 28,000 something.
Wow. So that's.
This is half.
I mean,
not quite half that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where he's, what the elevation he was starting from would be, but...
And no one would just be like, you know what? I think I'll climb Mount Everest tomorrow. I'll start early.
By myself. Like, at least when people, like, climb Everest, they know they have to hire a Sherpa and go with someone who has experience and will tell them.
Right.
Like...
Which is another interesting conversation, you know? It's like, Edmund Hillary, Sir Edmund Hillary, the first man to summit Everest. Except for the Sherpas, who had been up and down 100 times since... since they were like 3 years old.
Oh, dear.
But so wait, what's this guy's name again? Do you still have it handy?
Philip Vasto.
Philip Vasto.
He says, warning, unless you're an experienced alpine mountaineer, do Ooh. Not attempt Humphreys Peak in the winter. I would have thought that that would just be...
An experienced alpine mountaineer, a term that he learned the hard way.
Dear.
All right, Philip. Lesson learned, I hope. He might be out there again right now.
Yep.
Well, at least, you know, at least he tried to, like, you know.
Yes, I think at least he, it seems like he learned.
Do some good out of it. Like, hey, don't do this dumb thing that I did twice.
Twice in 2 days.
Oh, Philip.
Oh, dear.
I think it's time to do another drive-by.
Okay.
People are getting thirsty out there. It's time for Cash Cab Drive-By, which means it's time for you to drink your drink. Pick up your beverage, folks, and take a sip of it. And toast yourself and those around you who survived whatever it is, whatever hardships, not just COVID, which is a big one, which we're, I feel like we're through, and we deserve a toast. Let's toast it, man. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for watching. Time for you to drink your drink. And now, back to our show.
Mm. Do you remember the other crazy hiking story?
I don't know. Maybe that's the one I was thinking of.
The one about the man who crashed his car and wandered off into the woods.
Yeah, and then they found him at home, right?
Yes.
He was just at his
house.
He was
missing for two...
Eating a bag of Cheetos.
2 weeks his family were looking for him. They had no idea what had happened to him. And then the police found him at his house. Apparently he sent an email. That's a further detail that wasn't in the story.
Oh, and that's how they figured out where he was?
And... Yeah, and then he was just saying, he said, oh no, he was out in the woods all that time and he just stumbled back home. And I think, bullshit.
Right. I think what I said I thought then, which is that he was drunk.
Absolutely.
And he just left his car and went home.
That was my first instinct when I read the story. I was like, no.
But for 2 weeks, that was extreme.
I don't think he was. I think he just felt like he was going to get in trouble. So he, like, hid out at home.
Right.
Like he made it through the woods to home. I don't know. Maybe it took him a couple of hours.
Right. I wonder how many missing persons things end that way. Like what percentage of them are like, oh, he's in the living room. He's in the living room the whole time.
I'd like to.
Dude,
think,
how long have you been in here?
Yeah. I would like to think a fair percentage of them end that way.
Me too.
Yeah.
Who knows? But I would like to think. I would like, speaking of going up into the mountains, hiking, why don't we head up into the mountains and see what the wise old man has to say.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Let him drop some wisdom. He's always filled with some wise words.
He is full of it, isn't he?
We make that joke about him every week. I say he's filled with wisdom and you say he's full of it.
Do I?
And I don't think you mean wisdom. I think you mean poop. It's full of shit is what you're saying. And he does not appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, here he is.
I remember my cousin Nicky once, he stole this Camaro and he drove it right up here. I mean, right up through. It looks like a car wouldn't fit through there, especially a Camaro, if you know what kind of Camaro I'm talking about. But it looks like it wouldn't fit between these fence posts, these fences. But man, he just drove that thing. Man, he drove right. I mean, right up here, right through, right where we're standing right now. Woof, 100 miles an hour is crazy. I was in the back seat, I was having the time of my life. We stole a car. We were drinking beers. It was fantastic. We came up here. We had cigarettes. Everybody had all the cigarettes they could possibly want. And at the end of the night, we lit the thing on fire. We drove it off the cliff. We all dove out right before, like in the movies. But, man, that thing shot. You should have seen it, man. It was just like, boom, like, pow, shot right out there over the cliff. Boom, flames going everywhere. Thing dropped into the water. The fire went out, of course, because it was water, you know, but then it sank, and we just watched, and it just sank, and at a certain point, we couldn't see it anymore, and then it was gone, you know, and then we just all went home and pretended it never happened, but once in a while, we were, all the four or five of us that were here that night, we got together, man, what a night we had, just remembering that other crazy night. I mean, we had some other crazy nights, but nothing like that. We never stole a car, we never, you know, we never did anything as crazy as we did that first night. My cousin Nikki, rest in peace. All right, folks, I'll see you later, man. Thanks a lot. Yeah, come up anytime. I'll tell you another story.
I honestly, I don't know where that stuff comes from, but what a crazy life the wise old man on the mountain has lived. He's been there, man. He's been through it.
He's been there?
He has been there. Yep. He is been there. Whoa, that was crazy, man. Some people might say that was Freudian. Maybe not any... the exact same intonation as I just did. Mm-hmm. But for those of you who are just joining us, we are live from Vic's. Vic's Bar, where we sit and talk about stuff. Usually we drink beverages, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out. I don't have a beverage. I need
you
to.
Don't?
I might have to, like, play a video or something.
You're going to get yourself one of these Big New Show mugs.
You're right. I do. I totally. Oh, you know what? Here's one over here.
Fill it with a beverage.
I've got one now, but there's no beverage in it. But I'll hold it up anyway.
Jeez,
and I'll
babe.
Do like they do on TV and pretend I have a drink. You know?
I think it's so much better to actually like put something. It's like near impossible to swallow and like have it look like you're really swallowing.
I thought that was pretty good. That one was pretty good, wasn't it?
That was good.
Yeah. But yeah. It's funny, on TV you see them, they've got like a paper cup,
yeah.
A coffee cup. It's just so obvious. There's nothing in it.
It's like...
Or boxes. It's like, we're always saying, put some real weight in there. So
oh,
it looks like
I
they're
know.
Carrying
People are
something.
Carrying suitcases all the time. And
yeah, and there's
like,
nothing in them. Yep. Oh, I got that for you.
Whoa! Sorry, I got caught in the wind.
Yeah, there's nothing. You're traveling with an empty bag.
Oh, that reminds me of a bit of your stand-up.
Oh, really? Which, what bit?
The one about the dog and the park.
Oh.
You have to do that one.
You think?
At some point.
At some point, I'll do that
one. Yeah.
I'll make a note of it.
Okay.
A friend of mine loved that so much that he used it in, like, sales meetings. And he's like, I sold some stuff because of that bit.
Nice.
I'm writing it down. You guys won't know. You'll never know.
You have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you'll know after I do it. You'll know.
But yeah, I
reminded me of a story. Sorry.
Oh, good.
Reminded you of that bit. It reminded me of a story where I was doing a show. I was living in the city, and I booked a show out in Queens at this place called The Melting Pot, which was half owned by an actor whom we both know and appreciate. I met him once.
You know, I appreciate.
Yes, we both know him as an actor, and we like his work.
Yeah.
He was, his name's David Krumholtz. He's great. Really good actor. And he was just on Mom. He played the daughter's...
Oh, yes.
The daughter's older would-be husband.
Yeah.
But so he
Boyfriend
was a part...
Come fiancé, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's always good. I always like him. Yeah. But yeah, so he was a part owner of this place called The Melting Pot, where they did comedy out in Queens for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool little place. And I got booked to go out there and do a show with this other comic who shall remain nameless. And we were riding the train, and we ended up on the train together, take the train from Penn Station out to Queens, and we're cruising along on the train, and he's got a briefcase. And I'm like, dude, we're going to do a stand-up show. What do you, I mean, that's one of the great things about being a comedian. Nothing to carry. You just, it's just you and your mouth. And he's got a briefcase, so I keep going like, what's in the briefcase, man? You know, we're comedians. What do you have, your notes in there? He's like, you'll never know. He's like, I'm not telling you. You won't tell me. I'm like, all right. I'm like, okay, that just makes it kind of weird that you won't tell me. It's weird that you have a briefcase. And it's even weirder that you won't tell me what's in it.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know what? I gotta go find the bathroom on the train. And like the bathroom's usually at the far end. So he like leaves and he's gone. And I'm like, is he doing this on purpose? Because now I'm sitting there. He leaves the briefcase on the seat in front of me. And I'm like, I feel like he's kind of inviting me to look.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it's the one that has a combination.
Yeah.
And then you pull the things out and the little things flip up. And I'm like, I'm not going to try to figure out the combination, but if I pull the things back and it opens, I'm fucking looking. So I do. I pull them back and they pop right open and I open it up and there's nothing in it. Just carrying an empty briefcase. So it's like a prop, I guess.
You guys did the comedy show together.
We did. We went to the Melting Pot.
And he didn't use it in his act?
No.
So it's not a prop in his act. It's just a prop in his life.
It's a prop in his life. Exactly. It's not part of his act. It's a part of his, you know, this is who I am. I have a briefcase.
I thought you were going to say he came back and he like wasn't inviting you and he never thought that you would look in it and you had. And
To this day, I don't know if he meant for me to look in it or... I mean, if he watches the show now, he knows that I looked.
But there's nothing lost.
Nothing lost. Nothing in the briefcase.
With you finding out that there's nothing in there.
Right. Just interesting, right? So yeah, like it was like a prop for his life. Like,
oh, that interesting. Fascinating.
Yeah. What's
very
in the briefcase?
Curious.
Nothing.
It's like that is totally a plot from a movie.
It is, right? Like, the whole movie could be around it, and then you get to it, and there's nothing in the case.
Yeah, or a terrible movie.
It's Pulp Fiction. Oh, my God, it's Pulp Fiction. I opened it, and an orange light glowed on my face.
Oh.
What is it, honey bunny?
Nothing.
You fucking pricks. Any of you fucking pricks move, I'm gonna electrocute every motherfucking last one of you.
We already said what it is, but you are so committed. You deserve the movie quote.
Thanks, so.
Graphic and audio.
No, but that seems like something from a movie.
So that would be Honey Bunny, Pulp Fiction, and...
I don't know the actress's name.
I don't either. You know what I do? It's fucking Honey Bunny.
But yeah, no, that seems like something that we always say would be in a movie and you'd be like, yeah, right. Or you just think, oh yeah, that's a funny part of a movie that they wrote in. It's
right,
not
just some quirky writing. It's not something that would really happen.
Yeah, based on something in real life.
Right. What's in the briefcase? Nothing. Oh, you don't want to tell me? No. No, there's actually nothing in it. Oh, are you bringing some stuff back? Like maybe he was picking up some files.
Yeah. Drug deal gone wrong?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it went right. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
I think it was just like a thing that he did.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it was just to get people to ask him what was in the briefcase.
Yeah.
And there's like legend of a comedian who would sort of pretend to be a guitar act by, you know, he would just pack all his stuff for his travels in a guitar case. So that when he showed up, you know, he'd be like, oh, are you a guitar act? I'm like, no, that's my suitcase. But, you know, if he's like the feature act, you would make the reason he was doing it is to make the headliner sweat because, you know, nobody wants to follow a guitar act.
Why is that?
Because they're hard to follow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're like, you know, they bring more energy and they...
Right.
They're singing.
They're singing.
And playing, you know, playing humorous songs.
Right. That's interesting.
Well, there was a refrigerator kicked on and I thought for a second that Sparky was howling.
Not tonight.
Not tonight. So far he hasn't, right?
Yeah, he's been fed, so...
We interrupt tonight's program to bring you this information. Sparky is not howling in any of the rooms upstairs, and he has already eaten, so it is likely that he is sound asleep and doesn't care at all what's going on down here. Mm-hmm. And now this.
Yeah, we started the recording late enough that it was necessary to feed him before we started today.
It's a good idea to feed the dog early, yeah, or it'll drive you nuts. He'll just whimper until you feed him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't blame him, though. I mean, if I had to rely on someone to feed me.
Well, and if that
you'd just kind of be like following him around, like, hey, how about that burger, man?
If that was the highlight of your day.
Right. If that's the only thing you really had to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or not had to do, but had to do. Let's not make a big to-do out of it. If we can avoid it. Do you have any more viewer questions, babe?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, should we do another viewer question? I'm up for another.
I know Red asked one.
Red?
Mm-hmm.
I went to college with a guy named Red. Well, actually, his name was Scott, but we named him Red. I'm not sure why.
You want a cash cab question?
You mean like one of the questions that I would ask people? A question? No. Sure, I'll take it's a cash cab question. This probably one I've heard before. I'll go for it.
This is one Special Ed asked.
Special Ed.
He asked.
Red is like, wait a minute, hold on. What happened to me? It's all right, Red. We'll get to you.
Special Ed asked, how long did the shooting season last?
How long?
For each year.
Has this been going on? It depends on how many episodes we shot, Special Ed.
Mm.
We would shoot 40 at a time. And I think we would spend about 6 weeks doing that.
Mm.
Four to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
The schedule changed over the life of the show because I whittled it down. In the beginning, we would literally shoot 6 days a week, like 15, 16 hours a day.
Wow.
And then it was like, okay, I can't keep doing that.
That's just dangerous.
It was dangerous.
Yeah.
Especially because we would race back to the office at the end of the day.
Oh, God.
That part was particularly dangerous, but no one ever got hurt. Before you judge me.
Thankfully.
But so by the end of it, it was like, all right, we're going to start shooting after rush hour.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to shoot on Fridays because every Friday we'd end up getting stuck somewhere. Wherever we were when Friday rush hour hit, it would take us forever to get back to the office. And we couldn't shoot a game because we weren't going anywhere. So
start after morning rush hour.
After morning rush hour. In the beginning, they were like, we'll start at 9 a.m., and I was like, how about like 11, like after the madness, you know?
Yeah.
Which eventually we did, and we started shooting in the afternoon.
So in the beginning, you guys did start shooting.
We started at 9 a.m.
Wow.
Right in the middle, which means we were like prepping and everyone's trying to get there.
Right.
You know, it's like, why would we do that?
Let's shoot in the middle of the...
Well, they were trying to use daylight and you know...
Right.
TV-wise, that makes sense in most cases. Not in this case at all, though, because it turned out that it looked a lot better when we shot at night and there was a lot less traffic. So over time, it got the days got shorter. We shot less days and we got the same amount of footage, Special Ed. But so anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks to get 40 episodes.
I thought, maybe it was the Bravo one was longer.
The Bravo one, we did 65 episodes, and I think it took us 10 weeks to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
I thought we were in the city for like about 3 months, so yeah.
Something like that, yeah. Not quite three.
Yeah.
Oh, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was always fun. Hard work, but, you know.
Exhausting for you.
Exhausting. Exhausting work for me.
I can't imagine what it was like in the beginning.
It was brutal in the beginning. Like, I couldn't, I had like 7 hours to rest, you know, and I spent that time like, tossing and turning, repeating all the stuff that I said on the show in my head and like hearing that noise. Bow!
Oh, God.
Just like,
yes.
Do I have to be back at work yet?
Oh, no. It's that thing we were talking about last week. You need time to wind down before you can go to sleep.
Totally. Totally. You can't just force it.
Yeah. You go to bed and your brain's still working and it hasn't wound down. You don't sleep well.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
It is absolutely three.
Mm.
I wish I had made a note about certain things. But that shouldn't be part of the show because that's a part of the post. I think we need to do something right now that we haven't done in a while on the show.
Huh.
And that is go to warp speed, Captain. I don't know how that's going to play, but hopefully it'll be entertaining.
I think it'll be fantastically entertaining to the podcast audience.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. They'd be like, they could get into that. There's some fun in there.
No,
even
I'm
just the audio, right?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I don't know how far into the show we are at this point, but I think we're about an hour and 10 or something like that overall. We did another viewer question.
Mm-hmm.
How about another news item? You want to hit another
okay.
Weird, Wild, Wacky Wednesday Weekly World News?
We can do that.
I'll just play that part. It's Emma's Weird, Wild, Wacky Wednesday Weekly World News Part 2.
Awesome. I like that. Hit it fast and get into it. Okay, so this is a story I was going to maybe do the other week, and I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I sort of, we try not to get political on this show.
Right.
And I'm going to, I don't want to get political in this story, but this story definitely fits into the weird, wacky news category.
Okay.
I
can't wait. You have piqued my curiosity.
Yeah, we like people to have a break from the politics because it's everywhere. So
yeah, this show is never about that,
mm-hmm.
nor has my stand-up ever been about that. I always feel like it should be an escape from these things. You
yeah.
know? Any sort of show that you go to. Unless that's what you're looking for, and then fun, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so this is a story about a woman called Sarah Stogner, who...
Sarah Stogner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She was imploring Texans to vote early for the Texas Railroad Commissioner position.
Okay.
She was...
Interesting. She wanted people to vote early for that. Was she running for that position?
Yes, thank you. She was running for the position.
Okay.
And so she posted this video short on TikTok and Twitter to implore them to vote early. And I've given you that's it there.
Oh, Sarah. Wow, she clearly understands politics.
I love that you said, I put the one in that, like, of her riding a horse. She's not riding a horse.
No, that's not a horse. What is that?
No, it's an oil pump.
It's an oil derrick.
She's wearing pasties?
Panties?
No, the like, things that you cover your nipples with.
Okay.
If you're a burlesque dancer politician running for the railroad.
Yeah, she put those on. She didn't want to do anything, yep. you know, that might be deemed inappropriate.
Right. She's wearing...
For running for a political office.
A hat.
that is so not a horse.
Because you need to protect your head while you're sitting naked, semi-naked. She's got... It looks like a G-string on, and...
Wow.
And, of course, her...
Sarah Stogner for Texas Railroad Commissioner.
Her cowboy or cowgirl boots.
Yeah.
And it got a lot of attention.
No.
Needless to say. But, yeah, not the kind of attention she was
She was hoping for.
She wanted to bring attention to the issues, which, you know, I get that.
She wanted to make it illegal to ride oil derricks naked. This should clearly be outlawed.
Yeah, she got a lot of flack for it, and she ended up pulling out of the...
Pulling out of the race?
Of the race in the end.
Oh, Sarah,
yeah.
That's too bad.
I feel badly.
I guess. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. I feel kind of badly for her. I think, you know, it can be tough for women to, like, not go there when they don't get taken seriously in an arena.
Sure.
To want to, you know, lean on their assets.
Their assets, yeah. Yeah, well, it's like they're not taking her seriously anyway.
Yeah, she put her asset right there. Yeah, so now, again, it's just made her take them.
Made them take her even less seriously.
Yes.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, that's tough. Sorry, Sarah. Maybe the rodeo. Maybe you could join the rodeo. Huh? You've got the outfit or the lack of an outfit.
And now we know here's what not to do.
Right. I'm already making adjustments to my plans. running for local office.
But I think I bet she drew a lot of attention to the issues overall compared to what.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know what the issues are.
She says to make sure bad operators are held accountable and good operators are recognized so we can keep our oil and gas industry strong for future generations.
For future concerts.
I don't really know what exactly that all entails.
Yeah, I don't either, but all right. Well, good try, Sarah. Triceratops. I said part of the name of a dinosaur by accident. Cool. Interesting news items, as usual. Don't go hiking in the mountains.
Don't ride a pump jack.
Don't ride.
With no clothes on.
Don't ride a pump jack naked. Interesting. I think Sarah earned this, so I'm going to blow it up. I just love that. I really enjoy that so much. Oh, man.
I think we can tell.
Yep. By how you are you saying I overuse it?
No.
Just that I use it.
Just the intonation in your voice when just you use it.
That I bloody will love it.
Yep.
Bloody will. Or do. Well, I don't have a whole lot more to offer. Honestly, folks, I'm a little tired. Like I said, I played a lot of hockey last night. And then I worked out after, which is like, I just had all this energy. And I knew even then, I was like, you know what? I'm going to be tired from this. You know what we should do before we go, though, is give people another opportunity to drink their drink. That's right, folks. It's another cash cab drive-by. Pick up your drink, put it to your face, and tilt it in. Gulp it down. Cheers. Cheers to you and all you do. Because you've made it. It's Sunday night. It's time to kick back and relax and have some laughs. On us, free of charge. If you'd like to donate or pay us somehow for producing this show and doing this show for you guys, I'll show you how in just a minute. But for now, it's time for you to drink your drink. One thing you guys can do is you can go to the Shopify store. We have a Shopify store. It is Ben Bailey Comedy. Good way to get there is to go to therealbenbailey.com, which is my website, The Real Ben Bailey, accept no imitations. Did you mean The Real Ben Bailey? Yes, Google, that's what I meant. And if you go to my website, therealbenbailey.com, you will see top right-hand side, there's a big button that says Shopify Store. You guys can click right on that, and it will take you to the Shopify Store. The Join Our Mailing List window will pop up. Please put your address in there and subscribe. And when it asks, put in your zip code, because that's going to be better for you. You're not going to get every email about everything. You're only going to get emails about when I am performing in your area. That's why we ask for it. A lot of people wonder why. That's why. Mm-hmm. But so let's run through the upcoming dates while we're here. April 22nd and 23rd, I'll be in Spokane, Washington, playing in their giant wagon. I can't wait. Had a great time up in Spokane. Can't wait to come see you guys again.
Nice.
Some of my favorite local stuff that I have ever written was in Spokane.
Oh, yeah?
And they ate it up. after that, Summit City Comedy Club in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I will be performing in Fort Wayne, Indiana for the first time ever. Cool. At Summit City Comedy Club. That's May 6th and 7th. I will be at Zany's in downtown Chicago, right by that great gym I was talking about earlier, if it's still there. That's May 18th through 20.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the 21st, I will be at Zany's in Rosemont, Illinois, about 15 miles up the road. So, that's Zany's Chicago, May 18th through 20. Zany's Rosemont, May 21st. DC Comedy Loft in Washington, D.C., July 28th, 29th, and 30th. Had a great time at the Loft last time. Looking forward to being back there. Next up is in August, the 12th and 13th. I'll be at Tacoma Comedy Club in Tacoma, Washington. Come check that out. That'll be my first time there. I think I'm going to have some Sea Captain friends show up for that one.
Oh, yeah?
I think so.
Nice.
Haven't seen those boys in a while. from, what do you call it?
Deadliest Catch.
The Deadliest Catch Boys. But those guys, whenever I'm up in that area, I see at least one of those crazy captains. Mm. And I've already got word from one that they're planning to come. So
nice.
Looking forward to that. And then...
It's always an entertaining time.
Yes, yeah. It's a little bit like babysitting. But, but they're fun kids to look after. They're great guys. They really are. They're nuts, though, when they're on land.
yeah,
after
you're
that,
right.
Ridley's Comedy Castle in Royal Oak, Michigan, suburb of Detroit, great purple club. Everything's purple, unless they've repainted it. It's been a while. That's November 11th and 12th. No ticket link for that yet, but that's coming soon. Skyline Comedy Club in Appleton, Wisconsin, December 2nd and 3rd. Had a great time at that club last time. Looking forward to the fake fireplace in the hotel room in Appleton, Wisconsin, December 2nd and 3rd. So, yeah, hopefully I will be near you. One of those places is somewhere near you guys. I will continue to update you as new dates are added. If you want to take a look over at the Shopify shop, just click that link in the upper right-hand corner that says Shopify Store, and you'll see that we have all kinds of great stuff on the Ben Bailey Comedy Shopify site. We have two different kinds of hoodie sweatshirts that feature Sparky the dog on them.
Nice.
We've got notebooks and t-shirts and big new show hoodies and a bottle opener and buttons and magnets and mouse pads and mugs like the mugs that we've got here, phone cases like the one I've got on my phone, which is a great case, stickers, trucker hats, tote bags, a big mug because somebody said, I want a bigger mug. So guess what? Now there's a big mug.
That's so cool.
It is 15 ounces, so way bigger than the guys that we've got here. Two different size of beer can cozies because somebody requested those, but they haven't bought any yet. Kowalski, your underwear is still sitting there. Would you please buy it?
Mm.
Pint glasses, which were requested. Another beer cozy. A blanket, which people asked for. One of my personal favorites, the Your T-Shirt Killed My Life T-Shirts.
Mm.
Flip over for coolness pillow sham. Place head here, instructional pillow. A travel mug, a 22-ounce vacuum-insulated travel tumbler, because people have been really requesting a travel mug.
Mm.
So it's there. No excuses anymore. And then, of course, I'm really waiting, anxiously awaiting the purchase of this item, because I can't wait to see how it looks. I might have to buy one myself just to see. It's the Sparkle Bark puzzle, jigsaw puzzle with a picture of Sparky.
Right.
I'm very curious. I hope it's good quality. I think it will be. Everything else has been so far.
Do you think he'll run across that puzzle like he does?
Yeah, like he does the other puzzles?
The puzzles.
Yes, probably. No, yeah. Maybe he'll have some respect for that one. But so that all that stuff is on the Shopify store, you guys. And every time you guys buy something from there, a percentage of the proceeds goes to Share Our Strength.
Mm-hmm.
And a donation is made so that 1 pound of plastic will be removed from the oceans.
That's so lovely.
So please support us, support them, and help us get some plastic out of the ocean. There's also up, you can see next to the Shopify store on my page, there's all these little links to all these different things, all the social media. There's Instagram, there's Twitter, there's Facebook. There's the YouTube channel. If you're not already subscribe to our YouTube channel, Ben Bailey Comedy on YouTube, please do that. We would love to have you. And those things make a difference for us. So, go to YouTube, watch the show on YouTube, like the show, share the show, subscribe to the show, and enjoy this clip from the local comedy club. It's time for Basement Riffs. That's what we're calling them now. Basement Riffs.
Cool.
Here's one for you guys to enjoy right here. Yeah, so I don't know what it is with me, but I've got this weird thing with bananas. Yeah, bananas, the fruit. I got a weird thing with them. I love them and I hate them. It's like I love them and then I can't stand them. I don't know what it is. Sometimes, let me tell you what I mean. Sometimes I won't have a banana for like a week or a month or 2 years. And then all of a sudden there's a banana there, and I'm like, you know what? I think I'm ready. It's been almost 2 years. I think I'm ready to have a banana. And so then I'll have a banana. I'll eat a banana, you know. I'll wrestle with it a little bit, and then I'll get it open, and then I'll eat the banana. And then I love bananas again. It's like my love for bananas is reborn, and I can't get enough. It's like a bad bananas. It's like a banana. It's a bad relationship with me and bananas, because then I can't get enough. I'm like obsessed with bananas. I'll eat three bananas, and I'll stop at three bananas because that's how many I had. You know, that's how many were left by a friend. I had long ago written bananas off. You know what, bananas? I'm done with you. I can't do this anymore. And then one day, sports are played. Bananas are left behind in a bag with ice for some reason. This is not how you keep bananas, but there they were. And I thought, they shouldn't be in there with that ice. That doesn't make any sense. And I'll get them out. And then, you know, as I was getting them out, I was like, and then I was holding the bananas, and I was like, oh, you know what? Maybe it's been long enough. And I give it a try, and then boom, boom, boom. Three down. Three up, three down. No bananas in a long time. You know, 2, 3, 11 years. And then 1, 2, 3, bananas. Boom, boom, boom. And then I'm back in. Then I'm like, you know what? I think I'm gonna start buying bananas again. I like bananas a lot. I can't believe I went without bananas for 26 years. And now I've found them again, and I'm going to eat them. I'm going to eat bananas. Like, I ate three today, so at that rate, if I don't want to go back to the store tomorrow, I should get at least 9 bananas. So I buy 9 bananas. I eat them in one day. Now I've had a dozen bananas in 2 days after 175 years of no bananas at all. Now I've eaten a dozen bananas in 2 days. So I'm like, all right, well, when I get back to the store, at this rate, I'm going to have to buy a lot more bananas. So I buy 3 dozen. I come home with 3 dozen thinking it's going to last me 3 days. I have 36 bananas at 12 a day. You guys already understand how I came to that number. Now I have 36 bananas. I'm ready. I'm like, I'm set for tomorrow, the next day, and the day after that. And then I come down in the morning, and I look at the bananas, and I'm like, I don't want any bananas now. I see all these bananas that I bought, and I don't want any of them. In fact, you know what? I don't want bananas anymore at all. But you've made the purchase. Now you're in. You got 3 dozen bananas sitting there, and you can't fully just. You're like, you know what? Tomorrow I'm gonna catch up. Tomorrow I'm going to eat 2 dozen bananas and get back to where I should be, according to the plan. But no, you can't do that. You can't do it. You blew it out. You ate too many, too fast. And now it's no bananas. You cannot eat any more bananas now. And you watch them one day to the next, to the next, to the next, lying to yourself the whole time. I'm going to eat those. I'm still going to eat those. I'm going to... And then one day you're like, I was going to eat those. Now what should I do with them? Now that everyone who lives on the whole floor knows that I should throw them away, what am I going to do with the bananas? And you're like, you know what? I'll put them in the freezer. And I haven't completely given in to the fact that I just killed these fruits for no reason. My own greed and obsessive nature has brought these once beautiful ripe fruits to a brown and stinky end. And from that little disaster, banana bread is born. Banana bread. Talk about something out of nothing. You got a pile of bananas sitting there. They're like a nuisance. They're like a Superfund site in the making. Like, you need to do something. You know what? You could still eat them. You just have to make them into bread. What? Yeah, some food, if you let it sit around long enough, it goes bad, and then it's good again. I'd say that covers banana bread, top to bottom.
Oh, yeah.
And boy, do we know our banana bread around here. We love it.
Mm.
And it's true. Every bit of what I just said is true, right down to the banana bread.
Na, 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 na.
Banana bread.
Do, mom, do, mom, do. Mom.
Banana bread. I was waiting. I was trying to hold it like too long. I was purposely holding it too long, just like I did in the video. Banana bread. But so I think we're getting close to the end of things, guys. One thing we need to do still is figure out what today's holidays are, because it's time for Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. All right, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. We do this at the end of every show. Every single day of the year is one, two, three ridiculous, weirdo holidays.
Many. There's never just three.
Yeah, there's more. There's more. But we'd like to honor those with a monster truck extravaganza type ad for those holidays. And that's how Sunday, Sunday, Sunday was born. Should I tell people the answer to the movie quotes first? Or should
sure,
I do that
yeah.
after? Maybe I'll do that at the very end.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Movie quote answers coming. But first, what are today's holidays, babe?
Okay. We have Near Miss Day.
Near Miss Day. Okay.
Yeah.
Any explanation
it
on that?
Honors, like, it's a day to remember in how in 1989, an asteroid about the size of a mountain came very close to colliding with Earth.
Wow.
I didn't know that. 1989? Yeah. Did you know
I was here. I didn't know a mountain went by and we didn't even notice it.
Yeah. Thankfully, it was a near miss.
It was near miss. Well,
yeah.
I'm willing to celebrate that. That could have, I mean, mountains vary greatly in size, so it's hard to tell
but yeah, they say,
just how big, but apparently it would have been catastrophic.
Yes. They say that it would have been enough to wipe us all out.
Don't look up.
Yeah, right.
Don't look up day.
So I guess the
near miss
day is just honoring that we're all still here.
I like it. But not by any of our own doing. We are still here.
Some of our own doing. Some of us are working on it.
Yeah, but I don't think we steered a mountain-sized asteroid or meteorite.
In this specific, I thought you.
Yes.
Were, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we do what we do, what we can do to keep things good.
I thought you were thinking don't look up.
I've had a stain on my shirt for the entire show.
Hmm.
I'll try to hide it in the wrinkles. All right, so Near Miss Day.
Near Miss Day. We have Tolkien reading.
Near Miss Day, everyone. Tolkien?
Tolkien.
J-R-R-R-R-R-R?
Yeah.
Like the Hobbit guy?
Yeah, you say Tolkien?
I always thought it was Tolkien.
It might well be. I just always said Tolkien.
I always thought I was right about all those little things. And slowly I've learned as I've gotten older that, you know, I was wrong about some of them.
It's funny, like we all think we're right about those things, but...
What is it again? Read Tolkien or Tolkien Reading Day? Or just Tolkien Day?
Yes, Tolkien. Now I'm saying Tolkien. Yep. Tolkien Reading Day. Do you know what the JR stands for?
Junior.
John Ronald Ruel.
John Ronald Ruel Tolkien or Tolkien.
Mm. Huh. I can see why he like went with a few letters instead.
Tolkien Reading Day.
But
right?
He could have just been John Tolkien.
Well, I think it's very noticeable if you see like three initials in front of a name.
Like, ooh.
Ooh, who's that?
That
J-R-R.
Must be a good writer. Not be fooled.
One J, two R's. That's...
I'm not a big Tolkien fan.
That's impressive. That's
You're
not?
No.
No, you were bored to death by The Hobbit?
Oh, I had to. It was the
that
first
like, a yes.
really big book I read.
Same with me.
I think yeah, and I was like
no, second for me, sorry. Moby Dick.
In high school, we got this, we had to read it, and I was like, okay. I saw it as a challenge. I think maybe there was sometimes I hadn't gotten through some of the books we got set.
Right.
I don't remember, but for some reason I decided I was going to like really push and get through this whole book.
Right. I did the same exact thing with it.
Yeah.
Did you make it?
It was a point of pride. I did.
Me too.
And I really didn't like it. It's just like his writing style does not work with me.
He definitely goes into like an incredible amount of detail.
Oh my God. The detail is what kills me.
I only ever read one book, which I didn't finish, that had more detail in it.
Oh, really?
Than a Tolkien or Tolkien book.
Tell me that so I would read.
It's called The Name of the Rose.
Right.
And it's by a guy named Umberto Eco.
Ah.
And I knew I was in trouble when the book came with a glossary. I was like, why did I decide I'm going to read this? It comes with a glossary and a guide to, there's a book about how to read the book.
Wow.
Like an instructional guide to reading The Name of the Rose. I mean, I was like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this to myself?
Wow.
I didn't make it. I read like a third of it.
Yeah. Well,
and then impressive. There's like a 40-page description of a wooden door. And I'm just like, ugh, what? Where's the story? You know? And it's a great story. It's a shame.
Yeah. It gets lost in all the...
It did for me, but I was young. Maybe I'll try it again if I ever stop reading Sherlock Holmes.
Well, I think...
Which I don't think I will. At this rate, I'm just going to keep reading all of Sherlock Holmes again and again.
I get it. It's good. But, you know, like what... not Sherlock Holmes, but what Sir Arthur Conan Doyle does so beautifully that I don't think Tolkien does is he uses the reader's imagination.
Oh, he sure does.
And you and I both have... vivid imaginations.
Yep.
And it's like, I hate when, you know, Tolkien would be like,
they're
riding through the forest. And I'm like, okay, so I see them riding through the forest in a south to north direction. I'm like, shit, no, I had them going the other way. Okay, hang on, turn everybody around. And there's this many horses. Oh, no, I had this many horses. And the horses are this color. And I'm like, shit, no, my horses are a different color. I have to change it.
A horse of a different color.
But you can't say... you know, people are riding through a forest on horses without you picturing something.
Right, something comes to mind.
Yeah, and then...
And Doyle is great at giving you very vivid imagery without overdoing the wording.
A very small amount.
Little bit goes a long way.
Description.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's great. You have a very... And he's very vivid, but also quickly, very vivid description of people.
Mm.
You have a picture of their face,
yeah,
which I think just goes a long way to painting an overall picture when you could see a person kind of standing there in the room. And he's just a great writer. And Holmes is, you know, arguably the greatest literary character of all time, in my opinion. I mean, there's no other character that has influenced so much across writing. Like every detective since is... You know, there's a little bit of Holmes, if not a lot, or all of Holmes in it.
Well, not even.
In those characters, you know.
I'm sorry, not even. Not just writing, but actual, like, forensic science.
Totally, yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's... Affected the way that they actually investigate crimes,
there wasn't
for sure.
Fingerprinting before that. It didn't exist.
He was based on a guy who was a professor of Doyle's, who actually put some of those things into practice.
Right, but...
And he was way ahead of his time.
He was doing them, but they weren't widely adopted. It wasn't until he was a character that it actually... I watched a documentary on the plane one time when I was going home to Australia about it. It was so interesting.
Wow, I'd like to check that out.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's what I'm reading.
Just fly.
All you got to do is fly from...
Get on a 14 and half hour flight.
I'm only here for the Holmes documentary. You could have flown to Cleveland, you dummy. There's plenty of time. It's only 60 minutes. All right, so back to our holidays.
Okay, yes.
So, near miss day, Tolkien reading day.
Tolkien don't bother reading day. people will write angry letters to me, I'm sure.
They might. People love The Hobbit.
Bring it on.
The Lord of the Rings trilogy. They
love
it.
Send me the angry letters.
Don't send them to me. I love the movies, too.
Yeah, I get the movies, but it was already so spoiled for me by...
Well, you've seen everything in great detail if you read the book. All right, so what else have we got holiday-wise, Erin?
I'm going with International Waffle Day for our third holiday.
International Waffle Day.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I didn't know there was such a day that we celebrated just waffles.
Well, it started in Sweden.
Of course it did.
And it actually
is... Home of the Stroopwafel? That's just a guess.
Waffeldagen, which sounds...
Waffeldagen.
Waffeldagen, which sounds
Waffle Day.
A lot like Vorfrudagen.
Or Farfagnugen.
Which is Our Lady Day, which is a day that celebrates the Virgin Mary's conception. And because they sounded so much alike, the two holidays just kind of merged. And then the Swedes started eating waffles.
This is real history? Waffle Day started from the Virgin Mary Day? That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, so it became...
celebrate the birth of Jesus
waffles. No. The conception...
Oh, the conception.
Of the Virgin
right.
Mary.
Right.
Not the conception of Jesus, not the conception of...
Oh. Okay.
Not the birth of him.
Well, this is a weirdest...
But her conception.
Right. Right.
Pretty interesting.
Wait, who... Okay, this is very
That's
confusing.
That's the information I'm reading.
This is a very confusing
it
holiday.
It seems more likely that they would be celebrating Jesus' Immaculate Conception.
Right. What other conception?
But I don't know. Maybe they got bored. They needed some more church holidays, so they were celebrating Mary's conception.
Right. Interesting.
Not
when she got pregnant.
That's
but
not,
when her
yeah,
mom did.
That's not what the Waffle Day information tells me.
Interesting. Okay. Well, it is...
Next year I'll look into it a bit deeper. I'll do some more digging beyond the National Day calendar website.
All right. Wow. Crazy. There's a lot of crazy stuff out there in this world of ours. People celebrating some weird stuffs, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks, that's all the holidays, so it's time for Sunday. This weekend, one day only, near Miss Day. Celebrate the fact that a giant asteroid the size of a mountain didn't smash into the Earth, killing everything and everyone. I feel pretty happy about it. I feel so happy I'm going to go inside and read The Hobbit for 7 hours. It's only the first chapter, and I have the whole rest of the day to celebrate because it's Tolkien Reading Day. And now I forgot what the last one was. Let's have some waffles, everybody, because it's Waffle Day. And while you're at it, celebrate the conception of Jesus' mom, because they're the same holiday. All right, guys. Oh, it's so funny that those are the same day. Okay, here's the answer to tonight's movie quotes, guys. And maybe this is a good time to do this at the very end.
Mm.
The first one was Gladiator. Russell Crowe.
Yes.
Maximus. Are you not entertained?
We are
entertained. Maximus, keep it coming. And the second one was Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Humperdinck.
There's always, I think...
Humperdinck!
Have we done an episode that hasn't
that didn't
had
have
a Princess Bride quote?
If there's no Princess Bride or Raising Arizona, then something's wrong.
Right, exactly.
And the actor is Chris Sarandon, plays Humperdinck. Good fun, you guys. Great time, babe. That is it, everybody, for the Big News Show episode number 9. I can't even believe it was number 9. Wow. I'm Ben Bailey.
I'm Emma Gleason.
And we will see you next time. We won't see you. You'll see us, but we won't see you. Good night. Bye-bye.
Have fun storming the castle.
Do you think it'll work? It would take a miracle. Bye-bye.